morning.
Good morning.
This is the story about a man named Terry, a man who loves his stuff. He just can't get enough stuff.
I have so much stuff and not enough stories to put it all in. Let's see what we got on TV today.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be using this every time and you'll say, wow! It's a chamois. It's a towel. It's a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work when it's wet, but not the ShamWow. The ShamWow works wet or dry. It's for the house, the car, the boat, the RV. You can dry the dog with it, the kid with it. You can use it when you swim. You can clean the garage, and you know what? It's made in Germany. Those Germans always make really good stuff. ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Why would you want to work twice as hard? You need to get at least one ShamWow.
I don't want one. I don't want two. I want maybe three.
ShamWow sells for $19.95, plus shipping and handling. You'll get one for the house. You'll need one for the boat. You'll need one for the car. You'll need one for the garage. But wait! If you call right now, because we can't do this all day, we'll give you a second set absolutely free.
Oh, yeah. Here's my Visa number. Well, that'll surely come in handy. Let me see what else is on. Maybe there's something better. Hang the phone.
In the cold, cruel, hectic, self-centered world we live in, we forget those children who have been hurt beyond unspeakable measures, who then grow up doing all they can to escape the pain with the drugs and the alcohol, separating their minds. Many end up on the street where the reality of that pain cannot catch them. We dismiss them because in our world they don't matter. But they do. One voice for one heart and one life for one that matters. Be the one that matters and join us at Tent City.
Tent City. I got better things to do than matter. Maybe there's a tent around here I can use or something.
Knock, knock. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, not bad. How you doing?
Yeah, you get a lot of packages.
Yeah, you'll see more.
All right. Good for me. And you.
I'll keep you busy.
All right, hope so. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Watch out.
Whoa, whoa.
Thanks, Fred. Yeah, you got so much better to put it.
I know. I got need storage, man. Let's turn the TV on.
I toss and I turn all night long. My back aches, my neck is in a knot, but not with the all-new Sobakawa Cloud Pillow. A pillow 300 years in the making. Based on the traditional Asian buckwheat pillow, the Sobakawa Pillow is filled with over 10 million air beads. It's a virtual sea of clouds that support your head and neck while keeping you cool and comfortable. Ordinary pillows are shaped like bricks, but not the Sobakawa pillow. It's designed to cradle your head, neck, and shoulders.
I feel refreshed, and I don't feel my hair stuck to the back of my head after using my Sobakawa pillow.
Order your Sobakawa pillow for just $19.99, plus shipping and handling. And if you order today, we will also get the Sobakawa pillowcase, a $10 value, for free. Just pay shipping and handling. But wait, there's more. Call right now, and we'll double your order.
Oh, yeah, double my order. In fact, triple it. Let me get my MasterCard. Now, who could this be? Let's see.
Hi, sir. Would you like me to shovel your snow? I'm trying to raise money to go to church camp this spring, and I need money to shovel the snow. I noticed your sidewalk
has
crumbled.
Say what?
What was that? Let's do it again.
Hi, sir. Would you like me to shovel your snow? I'm trying to raise money to go to church camp this spring, and I'm earning money shoveling snow. I noticed your sidewalk hasn't been shoveled. Can you help me out?
No. I use my money for much better things than start shoveling snow. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, let's see what else is on.
Did you know that every 2 seconds someone in America needs blood? I'm here to encourage you to donate blood to the American Red Cross. If you've never given before, now is a great time to start. And if you have, please give again. It only takes about an hour of your time, and your life-saving donation can mean so much. So, starve a vampire. Give blood. Contact Red Cross today. To make an appointment, call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE or visit givelife.org. The need is constant. The gratification is instant. Give blood.
I don't think so.
Remember the great TV series MASH, featuring all your favorite characters? Hawkeye, Honeycutt, Radar, Crazy Corporal Klinger, Colonel Potter, Hot Lips Houlihan, and Frank Burns? Wish you could revisit these and all the other wonderful characters of this award-winning series? Well, now you can see it all. All 11 years of episodes. Join us this weekend as we air every episode of this spectacular series. Back-to-back episodes from the very first all the way to goodbye, farewell, and amen. Stand in the surgical tent with Dr. Pierce. Be a part of the intrigue between Nurse Houlihan and Captain Burns. Try to guess what crazy outfit Klinger will appear in this time. Don't miss this opportunity to relive all your favorite moments. Tune in beginning Friday at 8 a.m. until Sunday night at midnight for the MASH Marathon.
Now that's something I can use. Hello.
Hi, I'm calling from Point Place UCC. We're looking for individuals to volunteer to serve at our upcoming Feed My Sheep free dinner for next Tuesday. Do you think that you'd be interested in volunteering for a couple of hours of your time to help feed people in the community?
Are you kidding me? I'm a busy person. I have packages assigned for. What if I miss a delivery? Then I'd be upset. I had a storage space to fill. I just got way too much things to do than that. Goodbye. Hey, it's my friend.
You'd be busy, buddy.
I'm trying to.
Good.
Sign here.
What do you do with all this stuff?
But wait. That's just for me.
But wait, there's more.
You fool. This very day, your life will be taken from you. All these things you've acquired, whose will they be? Instead of collecting earthly things that bring short-term happiness, collect spiritual treasure that bring eternal joy.
This week, as I spent time thinking about what it means to have enough and to be satisfied in my relationship with Christ, I found myself getting frustrated. Why do I always want more? Why do I always want the best of things? And why must I have the latest and greatest? Why do I find myself collecting so much stuff? For those of you who enjoy shopping, be it a trip to the mall, the grocery store, the local Target store, TV, or online shopping, I must admit, there is a certain rush or feeling of satisfaction when you find just the right outfit or gadget that you've been looking for, not to mention if it's on sale. Do I enjoy this type of stuff because it is something I can see or accumulate? Does having all of these materials truly make me happy? And how long will that last? In Matthew chapter 6, we hear Jesus telling us not to store up our treasures here on earth, but to store up treasures in heaven. A treasure is something of value, something that we want or long for. Well, I can think of many examples of my earthly treasures, but heavenly treasures? A little harder to visualize. Maybe it's because I can't physically gather these heavenly treasures up and display them in my living room, or show pictures of these treasures to friends and family, or drive around in my heavenly treasure. It makes it a little more difficult to want to store up these types of treasures. Heavenly treasures are things like forgiveness, fellowship with God and with each other, the development of character, the power of prayer, in honoring Christ in all we do. These things will last when all of the earthly material things rust and fade away. So where should my priorities be? In obtaining treasures of this earth or in obtaining treasures of heaven? The answer seems obvious, but not easy. Perhaps I should be trusting God more. As we read in the Old Testament this morning, the Israelites were given exactly what they needed when they needed it most. They were in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere, yet God provided the food they needed every evening and every morning. I think many times I get caught up in the thought that I need the money, the possessions, and all this stuff to satisfy a life for myself and my family, but God will provide. He will provide because he loves us. We just have to trust him enough to let him love us and for us to love him in return. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with working to make money and using the money to provide food, clothing, and shelter for yourself and your family. But are we also focused on serving God and using those material items for a greater good? The rich man in Luke's parable wants to build bigger and better barns to be able to store his many goods, grains, and his stuff. He wants more storage for his earthly treasures. Well, wouldn't it be nice if God could not create a big enough storage unit for all of our heavenly treasures that we want to share with him?
As we read this story of Jesus, it appears so very simple. A man with a sense of personal injustice asks Jesus to help sort out his inheritance, but instead gets a lesson on priorities. Jesus begins by warning the man about the dangers of acquiring wealth and possessions, and then launches into a simple parable. This is designed to remind everyone that however much we value this life, God alone is our judge and our true wealth. The more we think about this and apply it to ourselves, the sharper this message becomes. Jesus' first warning is against all forms of greed, which is a broad term covering all forms of personal desire for more. More of what you already have enough of. Someone once told me that if you own something that you really love, you don't own it. It owns you. We are bombarded with all types of media telling us about all of the things we need. We are told that if we acquire these things, that our lives will be better. We will be happier. We feel we can never have enough of these things. What do we mean by things anyway? Basically, we mean our material possessions, our cars, our homes, our clothes, our DVD players, our furniture, our computers, our heirlooms, our collections, our sports equipment. The list goes on and on. Obviously, none of these things is evil in itself, and the possession of these things does not automatically make one a fool. But the wrong view or attitude towards these things can get us into the fool category in no time. The man in this parable was materially blessed by God. His land produced plentifully. As God continued to bless the man, instead of using his increase to further the will of God, all he was interested in was managing his increase and accumulating his growing wealth. So the man builds larger barns in place of the existing ones and starts planning an early retirement. Unfortunately, he did not know that he was going to die that night. Jesus then closes the story by saying, "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich towards God." There is a key lesson here in this parable, and it's so simple that it's difficult to hear. The lesson is this. This life is not everything. Worldly wealth cannot be taken with you when you die. Whatever the size of your barns, whatever the size of your bank account, whatever the size of your home, it won't really matter when you're dead. Because when you're dead, the stuff that you have will be somebody else's. We're not to devote our lives to the gathering and accumulation of wealth and possessions. This is an interesting point made in the parable. It echoes a thought that's expressed in Ecclesiastes 2:18, which says, I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. Matthew 6:24 tells us that if money is your master, that means God is not. We are blessed to be a blessing in the lives of others, and we are blessed to build the kingdom of God. The rich farmer in the parable of Luke 12 had more crops than his barn could handle. So he planned to build larger barns to store his grain and his other goods. What's wrong with that? It sounds like good common sense. What's so foolish about protecting investments and planning ahead? Nothing is wrong or foolish with planning ahead if we have a biblical view of our things. The farmer's problem was not that he was blessed with an abundant harvest, or that he owned many things, or even that he built larger barns to preserve his possessions. Several proverbs in the Bible indicate that such action is commendable. The farmer's problem was that he had the wrong attitude towards the things he owned. Psalm 62:10 says, "If our riches increase, we are not to set our hearts upon it." Proverbs 11:24 said, "There is one who gives freely and grows all the richer." Finally, Proverbs 3:9 through 10 says, "We are to honor God with the first fruits of our increase." The point is clear. If we honor God with what he has given us, he will bless us with more so that we can honor him with more. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 15 that summarizes this aptly. In that passage, Paul says, "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that having all contentment in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." We are blessed by God, so we can in turn abound in every good work and be a blessing in the lives of others. So if God has blessed you with material wealth, set not your heart on it, and be rich towards God. One mistake that the rich man made was that he did not recognize the source of his things. He actually thought that the source of all his stuff was his own effort. He looked at his things and himself and not at God. He did not recognize the fact that he had received everything from God, including his health and strength and mental capacity to plan for his selfish future, as well as all of his material possessions. Do we realize that everything we possess is God-given? 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "What do you have that you did not receive? But if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Ultimately, the source of everything we possess is God. In this parable, the rich man was placing his security in his things. He really believed that he would have many years of problem-free life because of what he had hoarded in his large barns. How foolish. But aren't we guilty of the same wrong view of things? Are we really trusting in the Lord for our security? Then why do we get so upset when the stock market falls? Why do we lose sleep when some of our things get lost or damaged through fire, flood, accident, or theft? In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said that we should seek first the kingdom of God, and then all things that we really need would come to us. Do we really believe this biblical promise, or just think that we believe it? Trusting in the Lord and not things for our security does not mean that we have no concern at all for material things. As growing Christians, we should be careful users and not careless squanderers or selfish hoarders of the things God has given us. Furthermore, trusting in the Lord does not mean that we are not to plan ahead. 2 Corinthians 12:14 says that we should consider the security of the next generation. Where does the dividing line come then between being foolish and being responsible planners? Listen to the words of James 4:13 through 15. "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.' Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The dividing line between foolish hoarding and wise planning is drawn on the ground of perspective. The fool says, my life is my own hands, and therefore I will. The wise person says, my life is in God's hands, and therefore, if the Lord wills, then I plan too. How carefully drawn is this line in your life? Another mistake that the fool of Luke 12 made was his priority on the selfish enjoyment of his things. Eating, drinking, and making merry on Easy Street was the number one priority for this foolish soul. His mistake was not his enjoyment of things, but his selfish enjoyment of these things. The Bible assures us in 1 Timothy 6:17 that God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. But the Bible also teaches that selfish enjoyment of the things we possess is wrong. 1 Timothy 6:18 tells us we are to focus on God and not our things, and then generously share the things we enjoy with others. Of course, this does not mean that we are to share with every irresponsible freeloader that comes along, but certainly most of us could do a little more sharing of our things than we're presently doing, especially with those who are less fortunate than we are. The rich man in Luke 12 was unwilling to share his possessions with others. Rather than give some of his grain away to the needy, he stockpiled it in warehouses. He was called a fool for his selfishness. There's an old Chinese proverb that shows the truth of this. It says, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help someone else. I'd like to close with a meditation. So if you could just close your eyes, relax, and listen for a moment. Hear these words the Lord has given you today. Listen to my voice and live. Salvation is my gift from darkness into light. Believe in me and live. Redemption is my work through Jesus, my Son. Follow him and live. Righteousness is the evidence of victory over evil. Discern what is right and live. Justification is the truth about sins forgiven. Confess them all and live. Sanctification is the pathway of growth in the Spirit. Receive him now and live. Holiness is love's perfection to which all can aspire. Walk this way and live. Glory is the mystery of my eternal presence. Worship me and live. Amen.